Yes, it's time for In The Back Pocket, proudly brought to you by Sportsbet. I'm Jay Clarkson. Massive games, round 12. The buys begin, of course, but so much on the line for Carlton in particular and Melbourne. We will get to that one in a second. As I say hello to the sharpshooter from the Western Bulldogs in Richmond, Nathan Brown. Hello, Brownie.
G'day, Jay. Do we need a buy? That's the quick question. Do we need buys? I don't think we need them. I think it lessens what's going on at the moment. They have a week off maybe in the middle. Everybody has a week off. Football has a week off. We don't need a buy.
And Stevie Johnson, of course, kicked 500 goals for the Cats and GWS. Hello to you, Stephen.
G'day, Jay. G'day, Brownie.
You would have been a big fan of the State of Origin, of course, the NRL showpiece, really, as big, if not bigger, than the grand final each year. You played in the 2008. It was a Hall of Fame tribute match, of course. We got some highlights here of you just lighting it up. Kicked 3 goals on the day on the right foot, as easy as you like. Of course, it was Victoria versus the Dream Team.
I thought you said you were playing on Enright and Joel Corey.
Who was that? Peter Burgoyne.
Peter Burgoyne's giving you a ski rope. Like, he was at like 500 metres from
you. I had a fair bit of toe, didn't I, to get away from Burgoyne? What's going to happen here, Brownie? What do you think?
I think you're going to run around and snap it on your right. But the funny thing is, Jay, that he said, you just read out the best players, and he said, where am I? I had 20 and kicked 3. How was I? And he goes, then Jack, to the producer, have we got some good highlights of me? He goes, well, you kicked 1, but it was a bit of a cheapie.
Where was the cheapie there?
Little Joe the Goose.
The reason why I had space is because I read what was going to happen ahead of the ball quicker than anyone.
No need to defend it, mate.
It was a good night.
And, did you enjoy it, Stevie?
The celebrations were unbelievable. So I think Brendan Favola just had a penalty at Carlton. Greg Swan had called him into the office. And after we won the Hall of Fame game, he was best on ground, won the medal. He was up at the Waterside Hotel over here on the bar singing the anthem, having had about 25 pots. We went to Crown Casino. Jonathan Brown, Fev, Bradshaw, all the boys. It was one of the best nights of all time.
He kicked 6, Fev, in that game. Could we bring it back? Like, is the State of Origin comp? Because we love it in the NRL, but is there any signs of life that it can be brought back into the AFL? Because we remember watching it as kids.
Yeah, Abel, I loved Lockett, it as a kid. Dunstall. I loved it, but I don't think the clubs don't want it. The coaches don't want it. You even said you, as a coach up in the country, you were a little bit nervous about your players getting injured.
Yeah, I was humming and ahhing about it because we had 2 weeks off in a row, but if it had just been the 1 week, there was a couple of senior players I would have probably preferred have a week off and freshen up. So you can see why the AFL coaches don't necessarily want it, because you can lose a key player in a game where it could affect you winning a premiership.
I tell you what, with the rugby one last night, was there enough signage on the players? I mean, there was logos. I was surprised there wasn't a logo on some of their foreheads. There was logos on the back, both the back of their shorts. Logos here, logos there, big logo. It was a logo off.
Can't miss a commercial opportunity, of course, Brownie.
Too much, though. Too much.
Still a great game, an incredible atmosphere, of course. So look forward to the next couple of matches. Speaking of Fev and Carlton and Jarma at the Blues, it continues with another big news week at Icon Park, of course, with one of its board members, Craig Matheson, resigning. It was huge news earlier in the week, of course. That's a nephew of Bruce Matheson, who went bananas in the Herald Sun a couple of weeks earlier, calling for all sorts of heads. So perhaps his position was untenable once the uncle came off the long run. But so the story goes that there was a dust-up in the rooms after Carlton's loss to Sydney, you know, a board member getting in the president's face. So it does bring in the conversation.
The Blues are the best at that, though, aren't they? The backroom drama, yes, they the board are. Dramas, they're very good at it.
So what's a board member's place at a footy club? Like, should they be seen and not heard? What were your guys' experiences when you came in the rooms, when you won goals, you kicked goals and won games, you get the back slapping, and then when you lose, everyone's sort of very angry with their arms crossed and furrowed
brows.
Very
keen to come in when you won. They weren't too keen to come in when you lost.
Right. So what
you should have a football director on your board that that explains what's happening at the football level. I don't think the board members that are prominent businessmen and wealthy people who are great for the footy club because they know how to run a business, but they shouldn't be commenting on the football side of things. I know even to the point when I was at Geelong, we used to find that, you know, when we'd have a bad loss, they'd come into the rooms and they'd stand there in their big duffel coats and they'd be looking out and like looking over
you.
And we hated it. Yeah. So after we started having a bit of success, we banned them from coming down into the rooms.
Get out!
Yeah, we said we didn't want them coming down, win or loss.
Yeah.
Because
we just felt like, and a lot of them are very good people, but we just thought they were liniment sniffers, just coming down to just have a little bit of a smell of the liniment on the legs of the players.
Doesn't it show how much power Stevie had down at the Cattery where he says, get out?
Now, who pushed that agenda? Scarlo?
Yeah, Scarlo. Scarlo was big on it, actually. He was probably the main man.
The liniment sniffers.
As we said, Carl, massive news throughout the week. And Harry Mackay spoke also about his goal-kicking yips. We're going to get into this on In the Coach's Office. So it's going to be enormous focus on him, Stephen Brownie, on Friday night. Harry Mackay, he's got the yips, of course, kicked 14 goals, 16, I think, and it does look like it's taking its toll on him. We saw on Friday night a couple of moments, it did look like the spotlight was on him, and he was really feeling it. Then he goes on the podcast this week and says he needs a body of time to correct some bad habits. So have you guys seen anything that he would be talking about there?
Yeah, I think it's been outlined and identified that he needs to work on his run-up in his technique. And if we just want to bring up a graphic of his shots this season. So he's taken 41 shots. He's only kicked 14 goals. So you see the points there. He's kicked 14 goals, 16, but he's had 11 which have completely missed. But when I look at this chart, I actually identify that he's not kicking enough goals from in front of goal. So that tells me, yes, his accuracy could be improved. He's kicking at an expected rate of 34%, where he should be kicking at 47%. So his shots on goal are coming from out wide. Mm. The best key forwards, and you think about Jeremy Cameron and Tom Hawkins, they have a great set shot record because they work so well together. They get very good isolation and they get shots on goal from dead in front of goal, 25, 30 metres out from goal. You start kicking those ones through, then your confidence builds. When you get onto a bit of an angle, you're more of a chance of kicking the goal as well. But certainly this is starting to become very mental for him and he does need a body of work.
I'll ask you a question because he's so quick, he can burn a player off. So maybe he's just a one lead player. So he's in the goal square, the ball's coming down, he holds, protects his space, then he goes. So he ends up wide wherever the ball travels. So is he not doing enough work at the start and getting his player while he's in the goal square and then going up the middle? Mm. So it feels like he's holding. Okay, I can beat this guy for pace. I'm going to go there because that's where the ball is.
Yeah, I think what happens is those two start sort of 25 metres out from goal, you know, side by side, and they wait for the ball to come down and then they'll lead out. As you said, they're athletic and they've got speed, but they're also athletic enough to actually get up higher on the ground, hook back into the dangerous space that's created from one of them leading out and the other one coming back into that space and providing an opportunity directly out in front.
So maybe he's lacking a little bit of leading
pre-contest
craft.
Forward craft.
Very good. That's a nice little deep dive on Harry Mackay on In the Coach's Office. Yes, it's going to be a massive game. Melbourne versus Carlton, of course. Real backs-to-the-wall stuff for the Blues, Brownie. It's going to be a huge challenge for that depleted midfield against a Melbourne team, which we rate as one of the most talented teams in the competition.
Yeah, we do. We rate them highly, their defensive skills. They've just dropped off in that area a little bit. They've only won 13 of their last 25. So you go back to Fremantle last year, who knocked them off after 17 in a row. And since then, they've been win-loss pretty much most of the time. So
they've underachieved since then.
If they don't win a flag this year, maybe. I think they're well right in it. I think they're still playing some pretty good football. It's just their forward line at the moment. I think their midfield's good. Their defensive end is solid. They beat the Blues for me.
Yep. What do you think, Stevie?
Well, Carlton haven't beaten a top eight team this season. Mm. They're zipping five against the top team. So it's probably where I see them sitting around the 8-12 mark in the competition. Not one I'll be tipping them in this week.
They lack any sort of speed out of stoppage anywhere. So any through the midfield, you think Cripps, Walsh is one player with pace and zip out of a stoppage. Haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Chera, who doesn't really burst out of stoppage. Who else you got in there? You've got Kennedy, doesn't burst out of stoppage. So you've got all these players. Akers, who doesn't burst out of stoppage, can make a mistake. So where does their pace come from? That's the thing that's lacking at Carlton at the moment. Pace and ball movement. Saad's the only one who really takes the game on, but he plays half back. And when he gets it, he chips it 15 metres. So I'd rather see Saad kicking it long. So they need pace out of stoppage, which they don't have.
They've been missing Zach Williams, the former GWS recruit. He got recruited for his big salary at the time. But his leg speed, to your point, is probably something they'll be missing. Both tipping Melbourne
in
this one.
Yep.
Very good. Now, Brandy, speaking of player salaries, I do tend to get a little bit nervous around this time of year. It's time for the Herald Sun's Rich List, which will be coming out soon. The top 100 paid players in the competition. They all get a bit prickly about the whole concept, yep. But I think we're over it by now. And you were talking about someone who you think should be not only in the top 100, but right up near the top of the list.
Right, I think he should be one of the best played players in the competition. Who? So I'm talking about Nick Larkey. So if I'm North Melbourne right now, yep. And all the turmoil they've had, they need to build something around somebody. He should be their highest paid player.
Yeah.
So he's a free agent at the end of 2024. So he signed
Everyone's
up to them.
Come for him.
They are going to come for him. So North Melbourne have to sign him up now and almost have to pay overs because what he does, he brings a premium. So the last 4 years, he's kicked 42-15, 38-18. This year he's kicked 30 goals 8.
Dead eye.
Now imagine Nick Larkey at a club that's playing finals, that's getting 65 inside 50s a week, and the ball use of a Collingwood. I mean, you think of Collingwood, Sydney, maybe even Essendon, Melbourne, Richmond, all these clubs that we think are going to contest the finals the next few years, they get 60 to 65 entries a week, where North Melbourne might get 40 to 45 if they're lucky. So this guy for me, because of the way he can finish, is it a premium? And we don't put enough emphasis on that. You might think he's a 600 or 700 a year player. I think he's 900 to a million. Ooh. I think he should be paid $1 million, and that's what North Melbourne should be paying him. That's what someone's going to have to pay him to get him out of North Melbourne. But he should be, with the finishing skills he's got, one of the highest paid players in the competition.
I like it. That conversion too, Stevie, hugely underrated, I think, in the game. But when's North Melbourne going to play finals? He'll be sitting there with his manager going, right, you know, when are we going to progress? When am I going to win a flag? When can I get September? When do you see North Melbourne doing that? Like, it's a while
away. Well, not for a long period of time, really. I mean, they've got some exciting young players on their list. If they can keep the likes of Larkey, Davies, Uniacke,
Scott,
those guys going,
yep.
But they run the risk is there. If they don't sign someone like a Larkey long term now, they're open to the risk of a big club or a Fremantle they need a key forward coming at him and saying $1 million a year. This is a bloke that is dominating in one of the worst teams in the competition right now. So you're right. That point about Collingwood, if he was there, he might be kicking 80 goals this year.
Very good against the Pies and Darcy Moore for a time. One of the best defenders in the competition. Right, we've got the Cats and the Bulldogs on the agenda next. That's In the Back Pocket. Yes, welcome back to In the Back Pocket, proudly brought to you by Sportsbet. Biggest story of the season has been Hawthorn. We're going to talk draft pick penalties next on Are You Sure? Brandy, while you are on the long run here, players' salaries should become available. Are you sure we should be more open about the paychecks?
I think they should be. I think we know around about what players are paid anyway. It's not going to be a massive surprise that Charlie Cameron is on $600,000 or $700,000 a year.
Yep.
It's not going to be a surprise. But it might be a surprise what some players are on, but I think everybody knows and just get it out there.
The average wage is about $380,000 or something like that.
$400
these days. Average.
Yes.
That was the most I got paid.
But what was the most you got paid, Steve? You want to be open about that?
Somewhere between 5 and 6.
Where was that? Was that the Cats or the Giants?
That was at the Cats.
Yes.
I was washed up when I went to the Giants.
No, you were very good. How many did you kick in your second last game?
You're only as good as your last home game.
Yes.
Six.
Very good. Hey, Stevie J, are you sure Carlton should consider trading Harry Mackay? That was the big call from Jonathan Brown throughout the week.
No, I'm not too sure about that. Not sure where Browning went with that call. But now they've got to back him in. Obviously, they've put a lot of faith in him, knowing that he's got potential to be a strong, one of the best key forwards in the competition for the next 7 or 8 years. So, yes, he's got some issues to work through, and he's got to do a body of work to make sure that he's comfortable with his set shot routine, but he's still got massive upside. I think him and Charlie Kerner have got to learn to work together a little bit better, whether that's through coaching or being a little bit more selfless, but a very important player to their success going forward.
Sydney, you'd like to get their hands on him. I'm not sure Carlton should be tipping him out just yet. Brownie, Hawthorn, cultural safety review has been the biggest story in the game. There's no doubt about that. Are you sure the Hawks should lose draft picks for the way it's handled this process?
Absolutely not. I don't think you should penalise the club moving forward for draft picks.
Yep.
I think if you are trying to, I guess, get around the draft or play players under the table over what they should be,
cheating,
property deals,
yeah,
things that you dabble in
outside.
But I don't think taking draft picks away is the right way to go.
I'm absolutely with you. Stevie J, are you sure clubs should have high hopes for players taken in the mid-season draft? Recruiters saying it's not a bumper talent pool.
No, they shouldn't. There's normally a reason why these players don't make it on a list to begin with.
It's a rookie
draft. Yes, there is opportunities for players like John Newcomb come through the mid-season draft last year for Hawthorn. So if you're good enough to land one, well done, but the clubs and the supporters should temper their expectations.
Got to do your homework.
Yes.
Is there anyone playing for you that could play AFL football?
Oh, good question.
I reckon there's a couple that are good enough to be on an AFL list. Yes.
Name names. They'll be watching.
I don't want to name names.
There's the grumpy coach coming out in you. Hey, Brownie, are you sure? You've been big on Josh Dacos this year. You were big on him in the preseason. You said his breakthrough season would happen. Are you sure Essendon's Nick Martin is in All-Australian contention on the wing? Is it Dacos and Martin in the All-Australian wings to the half point of the year?
He's on the periphery. I mean, still Sidebottom would have been All-Australian if he hadn't got injured. Mm. Now, I was listening to Hoiney the other day with all the champion data stats, and he said he's the number one rated wingman this year. So from last year, he's improved 82%. I don't know how you get to 82%, but that sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it?
It does.
But it all revolves around where he gets his footy and what he does when he distributes it. So he's a very good inside 50 player.
I think there was a player that got on his bandwagon pretty early on in this season too, Brownie.
You did.
Mm. Was it Brownie or you? One of the two. Anyway, Stevie, are you sure Collingwood should rest players for the trip West Coast to the easy beats?
They should consider it, particularly if there's any players that have any sort of minor issues that they're carrying. That's the best way to do it. That's what Geelong did so well. I know they had some more senior players.
Yep.
But if a player could do with a rest, they're going to win that game, so potentially do it.
Brown, are you sure, with Collingwood on top spot, are you sure Port Adelaide and Brisbane will fight it out for second spot and the crucial home final? That's a big battle going on between those two clubs.
Seems the way the ladder is, Jay, yes.
Good one, Brownie. Stevie, are you sure there is enough accountability in footy media? There was a massive blowout throughout the week. Caroline Wilson said Paddy Cripps stayed at a different hotel. Paddy Cripps put up an angry Instagram post saying it's an attack on his character and commitment. Is there enough accountability in footy media?
No, there's no accountability, really. It's rare that you even see journalists apologise. So I think, the media is AFL accredited. Mm. It'd be great to see them come out and put a one-week suspension on Caro for making a bad call, wouldn't it?
Doing her off footy classified for the week, you're saying.
Yes.
Yep.
You know what's going to come? Another set. He's going to get arrowed again, isn't he?
He's going to get arrowed
Brownie.
Again.
That has been Are You Sure? Yes, very good. Now the Cats have been one of the biggest stories over the past couple of weeks. Wheels off a little bit. They play the Bulldogs, of course, under the roof at Marvel. Stevie, what's Chris Scott going to work on this week? What needs to be the biggest fix to get the Cats back playing good footy?
Well, they're going to have to match the Bulldogs in the contest. The Cats have been so strong in that area. They've been scoring heavily from the clearance this season, number one in the competition. But when some of their best mids go out of the team,
danger. That
is a little bit of, Dangerfield, Guthrie out of that mix. Mm. Their lower tier of players is probably not quite up to it. So the key is to try and win the ball out of the middle of the ground. We know their forwards will score if they get the opportunities. But the Dogs, with Bonampelli and McRae and these guys, Liberatore, in great form, it's a big challenge for the Cats this week.
Doesn't always correlate to scoring, though, for the Dogs. They had, 20 more inside 50s against Gold Coast last week and couldn't hit the scoreboard. So that's going to be worried, particularly against Geelong, who fold back so well. You got Tom Stewart, who does it really good. So, look, I'm tipping the Dogs, but I'm not giving up on the Cats season just yet. Everybody very keen to write the Cats off. I don't think they bat as deep in the midfield as what we thought they did at the start of the year. They lose Selwood, a couple of players go out, and they looked bereft of ball-winning ability in the middle. But I'm not going to give up on just yet. But I'm tipping the Dogs just in a close.
And Jeremy Cameron, he's got a return to form. His bad form is not really bad, but we know that he's got a level and another couple of gears that when he clicks into top, into fifth gear, he's unstoppable, and he hasn't had a game like that for a while now.
It's going to be a great matchup. Liam Jones on your man, Tommy Hawkins. Liam Jones, all Australian contention, been absolutely fascinating. Stiffening up that Western Bulldogs defence after a shocker over the first two rounds. What about Gold Coast versus Adelaide? Just quickly, the Suns are very good last week against the Western Bulldogs. I've been talking about Damien Hardwick taking over from Stewie Jew. Well, not if they keep playing like this, the Suns.
Yeah, they did have 20 more inside 50s against them. The good thing about the Suns this week is they've been up there for 2 weeks now, so they're acclimatised to it. Adelaide are going to get up there and get hit with that humidity. So I'm leaning just towards the Suns.
Yeah, and with the slippery conditions up there in the Northern Territory, it sort of suits the way the Gold Coast Suns want to play. They're strong around the ground balls, but equally the pressure they put on the ball carrier. I thought that was an advantage for them last week. And as you said, though, we're used to the conditions. I think it kind of suits the way Adelaide play as well. But given they've played there last week, the Suns, you might just tip them just by a small margin.
Adelaide in good form themselves should be an absolute cracker. Very good. Stevie Wright, we got Stevie A or Stevie A next on In the Back Pocket. Welcome back to In the Back Pocket. Let's see if I can get the name right this time. It is Stevie Yay or Stevie Nay.
Is the Lizard the most exciting player in the AFL?
100%!
Yes, I love watching him play.
You're excited, weren't you?
Yeah, I love watching him play, the way he just takes off slithers. And takes the game on, slithers across the ground. Sometimes runs himself into trouble, but gee, he's good to watch. And he's a funny character, the Lizard.
You like him?
Yeah, I really like him as a bloke, and I love watching him play footy.
Stiff not to get the medal last week.
Yeah, Chad Warner just pipped him. The midfielders always seem to get a leg up.
Hey, Stevie, what about the rising star? Does North Melbourne's Harry Sheezel have it already stitched up?
No, he doesn't have it stitched up yet. I think Will Ashcroft is putting together some pretty good games of recent times. So I watched Sheezel firsthand on the weekend. Love the way he goes about it, his composure, his skill. But I think Ashcroft has his nose in front.
Are you missing Dennis Cometti?
Yeah, I love listening to Dennis Cometti. He's the commentator I miss listening to most. Used to be able to take him off, but haven't done it for a number of years.
Give it a go.
Minor score.
Centimetre perfect.
Centimetre perfect.
Impersonation there, Stevie. Hey,
I didn't know your accent.
I haven't done it for 15 years. I used to do it at Pales, my party trick in Wangaratta.
Can you do Mike Sheen?
Well, don't know what.
That's not bad. Off the cuff, we hadn't discussed it. Hey, is it true you play golf off a scratch handicap?
No, I'm not sure where you get your information from, Jay. Not quite.
What are you hitting off?
Three, but probably closer to 23 these days because I don't get a lot of golf in, but live around some pretty nice golf courses. I'll get out in the summer.
Wow. Now, being such a good mate with Kenny, are you putting your hand up to replace Koshy?
Yeah, I've had a phone call from the executives at Channel 7, so we'll see where it takes me. Not really.
Looking forward to you on breakfast, Tally, whether you get there on time, Stevie. Hey, will Yarrawonga's key out cost you this week? You got an injury crisis down there at the Pigeons.
No, we got a couple of injuries and one important player out with a suspension, so backs against the wall up against the Wangaratta Rovers.
What did he get suspended for?
It was an accident. He said he threw the arm back and collected someone and a concussion.
The old accidental elbow.
Harry Wheeler, so pretty good player.
Wheels.
Missing.
I think you got Stevie Baker with an accidental elbow back in the day. Stevie, very good. That has been Stevie Yay or Stevie Nay. Yes, nice one, Steve. Have you got any other impersonations for us? Anyone else you can do? Or Ross Lyon, perhaps?
I'll get back to you. I think I've got one or two others.
Maybe we need a new segment for that, Stevie's impersonations. Right, let's get along to GWS versus Richmond. What a win the Giants last week over the Cats at home. Toby Green, your man, outstanding again. Stevie, I'm calling it the Adam Kingsley Cup. Brownie, this one between two sides.
Adam Kingsley?
Well, Kingsley came from Richmond as assistant coach.
He jumped on the coattails of Richmond after that 1-2 flags.
What would we call it then?
The Leon Cameron Cup?
Not bad. Yeah, maybe we'll call it the Leon Cameron. Who's going to win this one? I think GWS at home will pose a pretty difficult challenge for the Tigers. Stevie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they can certainly go into this game favourites. Mm-hmm. Toby Green is on fire. If he performs to the level that we know and the level that he did last week again, he just drags them over the line. So in all four of their wins, he's had around the 20 possession and four goal game. So
who goes to him?
Broad.
Yeah, potentially Broad, but I still don't think they've got a matchup that can go with him. So whoever's gets it. It's got the work cut out.
Outside the Collingwood game, every Giants game has been decided by 21 points or less, so they've been super competitive all year. I think their midfield's humming. Lockie Whitfield back playing some of his best foot. He's lost in the wilderness for 18 months, Lockie Whitfield. Couldn't touch it. His last 4 weeks have been fantastic. He's back to the player that he was.
And Taranto. So he was extraordinary last week, kicking 4 goals to go alongside his 30 possessions.
Yep.
Goes back up to the Giants and Hopper as well, so that'll be interesting to see the way they go about that. They won't tag him, but you'd think there'd be a physical presence in his direction.
Is he liked up there?
He's well liked by the players, yes.
Good.
And you said very good last week, potentially 3 Brownlow votes. So he's tracking towards an All-Australian squad nomination at least, which would put him in the top 40 players in the competition.
I think he's right on track for an All-Australian berth, not just the squad. I think he's right now, Tim Taranto's in the All-Australian 22.
He's winning Richmond's best and fairest by a long way.
No one's putting up the numbers he's putting up consistently.
Certainly been a big talking point so far this year. Tim Taranto in outstanding form and kicking goals right. We ditched hypotheticals. We gave it a crack over the past couple of weeks. We'd need some work.
Really hit the heights, did it?
We got some feedback, needs a bit of refinement. So we come up with something new.
You did.
It's time for big calls. This is called In My Opinion. Righto, I tell you the story, the fairy tale which has been flying under the radar this year. Yes, I've been talking about Ken Hinckley and his rain dancers potentially taking Port Adelaide to a premiership this year. Chris Fagan been under a bit. Brisbane, a chance for a premiership. What about Essendon? Right, so 18 years without a winning final. 2004 was the last time the Bombers won a final. So that's 6,500 days. Poor Dyson Heppel never played the winning final. Zach Merritt, the same. Why can't they do it this year, fellas? In fact, I think they can. So they've got 6 wins so far, and you have a look at their run home. We'll bring it up on the screen now. It is one of the easiest run homes in the absolute business. They play North Melbourne twice and West Coast once. Right, so they need probably 7 wins out of the last 12 to guarantee a finals berth. Maybe 6, probably 7. Now you can tick off 3, Brownie and Stevie, am I right? 2 over North Melbourne, 1 this week and West Coast. So that's 3. Overall, out of these 12 games, 9 of them are against teams who are below the Bombers on the ladder. So there are absolutely no excuses. And you think, right, okay, they've had a massive injury run, haven't they? Lost some key players. They are all coming back. Who's that, you ask, Brandy? Peter Wright coming back after the bride.
Didn't say anything. So what are you saying? What are you saying? Are you putting on the line here?
You're just saying that they're going to qualify for finals now.
Whoop-dee-doo.
They've still got to win a final.
No, this is their year. So Dyson Heppel, Zach Merritt never played a winning final. I know Brad Scott's talking about his broad vision.
So what's your statement?
They are going to make, not only will they make finals, I'm backing the Bombers, right, to win a final this
just
year,
one
Brownie.
Final.
Well, we can't get too
far. What's the given with that
role? It hasn't been done in nearly 20 years, Brownie. Well, with that run, do you think they should make it?
I think they make the finals,
yes.
And then they win a game. Well, well done.
Well, that hasn't happened in nearly 2 decades, Brownie. This is a big deal for the Bombers. And
what are you,
Brad Scott,
celebrating mediocrity?
Well, we haven't done it in a long time. This is a big deal for the
A big deal would be winning 2 finals.
They haven't done it in 20 years, Brownie. What did you think of their run home, Stevie? Can they make it? They get Peter Wright back, Darcy Parrish, Will Setterfield, Kelly back from concussion. Their first pick in Elijah Sardis. It's been a horrific run. Are you backing the Bombers? It would be one of the stories of September.
I'm backing them to make the 8 with that run home.
Yep. No excuses.
They're certainties.
No.
I mean, they're still gonna put runs on the board. But without Peter Wright, he's a massive
in
to come back in. I mean, he was one of the best forwards in the competition when he was injured. But I'm not buying the fact that they can win a final just yet.
You know, if St Kilda's currently 5th, right? So if they stay in 8th, St Kilda 5th, under the roof at Marvel, will they beat St Kilda?
I don't think it'll be St Kilda. I think it'll be someone like Fremantle.
You're wanting the moons to align, Jay, at the moment.
Well, they should have faith in the Bombers and the good people up there at Essendon. That has been, in my opinion. Wouldn't that be a massive tick for Brad Scott, first year in charge, to take the Bombers to a winning final, Browning?
It would be. He's been very good so far. I think they play finals. They need to win 2.
Okay. Hey, you've been in form with the punts over the past
investment.
A couple of weeks. This was you last week. So, Stevie, you bombed out. Tommy Hawkins missed on Melbourne. 3-0 upset win. Yeah,
Richmond are a good team to back at the moment because Rioli has 20 every week. So too does Tim Tirano, 25 every week. So you can almost lock those guys in if you're betting around Richmond.
Well, what are you thinking this week?
I've gone away from that this week. Here's what I've got this week, and it is Port Adelaide to win head-to-head. Mitch Lewis to kick two in that game, and Connor Nash to have 25-plus. Connor Nash has had 25-plus in his last seven games.
One of the most improved players in the competition, no doubt about that. 100 on at 330. What do you think, Stevie J?
Yeah, I need a short price one to get up here just to get a bit of money back in the kitty. I've promised the viewers out there that by the end of the season, I will be in the green, Nate. So stick with me. Melbourne to win head-to-head, Port Adelaide head-to-head, and Western Bulldogs against the Cats to win, paying $2.50.
Very good, Stevie. All enjoy the footy, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on In the Back Pocket, proudly brought to you by Sportsbet. We'll see you next week.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.